Our study this morning is in Psalm 40, 1 through 17, finding God's help in the ups and downs of the actual life of faith. Though 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 calls us Christians not to sin, the fact is that we all have sinned as believers. 1 John chapter 1, verse 10 says, if we say we have not sinned, we lie, and His truth isn't in us. Well, Psalm 40, 1-17, provides us with a record of David's up time of spiritual victory in verses 1-10, coupled with a down time of spiritual defeat and need in Psalm 40, 10-11-17. And we view it for our insight today. This is the realistic view of the life of faith. Ideally, you want the life of faith to be something that is a straight line on a graph that goes like this, but it doesn't. It's generally two steps forward, one step back, kind of a thing. And that's how the growth really goes. And that's what it was in David's life. So it's always encouraging for us to see how life really is in the life of faith. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and we'll get into His Word. Father, we thank You for the opportunity that You gave us to meet, and we thank You for the liberty to do so. We ask, Father, that we would take advantage of this opportunity by yielding to the Spirit of God and relying on Him to understand the text and then to use it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, we'll read it in the King James Version and then we'll look at it from the Hebrew text. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respects not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are Thy wonderful works which Thou hast done, and Thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order to Thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering Thou didst not desire, mine ears Thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering Thou hast not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do Thy will, O my God, yea, Thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips, O Lord, Thou knowest. I have not hid Thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared Thy faithfulness and Thy salvation. I have not concealed Thy loyal love and Thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not Thou Thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let Thy loyal love and Thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore my heart fails me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me calamity. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, Aha, aha. Let all those that seek Thee rejoice and be glad in Thee. Let such as love Thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Okay, the introductory remarks in the English Bible comprise verse 1 of the Hebrew text, so we're going to stay with the numbering system of the English Bible for clarification with this lesson. So we translate Psalm 41-17 as follows. I waited patiently for Yahweh, and He turned to me and hearkened to my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He placed a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our Elohim. Many will see and fear and put their trust in Yahweh. Blessed is the adult male warrior, that's Geber, who puts his trust in Yahweh, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to a lie. Many are Your extraordinary works which You, emphatic pronoun, have performed, O Yahweh, my Elohim. and the things you have planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak and tell of them, they would be too vast to declare. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced. Now this is a reference to the practice of forming a bond slave for lasting willing obedience to his master. You recall in Exodus 21, 5 to 6, if a slave had earned his freedom and he could be set free, the slave might decide not to go. He had married under the master, the master provided a wife for him, he had children and so forth, he wanted to stay. So he said, I want to be a lifelong bond slave. So then the slave would go to the door of the master, bring the slave to the door of his house, and he'd take an awl and he'd pierce through the lobe of the ear and pin him to the door. And he would declare that he would be a bond slave. In other words, he was bound to that house for the rest of his life. And this means this is a slave who is willingly obedient to his master. This isn't a slave who was bought and who had to obey. This is one who wanted to. So when David says, my ears you have pierced, he has made David into a willingly obedient servant. So sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have pierced, namely you've made me a willing servant. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written about me. I desire to perform your will, O my Elohim. Your law is written in my inward parts. I proclaim righteousness in the great assembly. Behold, I do not seal my lips, O Yahweh, as you know. I do not conceal your righteousness in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not conceal your loyal love and your truth from the great assembly. Now, all of a sudden, the psalm takes a dramatic shift, and it goes away from spiritual victory to spiritual defeat. Very interesting. Verse 11. You, O Yahweh, do not withhold your mercy from me. May your loyal love and your truth always protect me, because troubles without number surround me. My iniquities have overtaken me, and I'm not able to see. They are more than the hairs of my head, and my courage leaves me. Be pleased, O Yahweh, to snatch me away. O Yahweh, come quickly to save me. May all who seek my life to take it away be put to shame and confused. May all who desire my ruin be turned back in disgrace. May those who say to me, aha, aha, be appalled at their own shame. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who love your salvation always say, Yahweh be exalted. But I am afflicted and needy. May Adonai, that's my master, think of me. You, emphatic pronoun, are my help and my place of escape. O Elohim, do not delay. So we note some significant observations of this psalm as follows. Though David praised God for past deliverance in Psalm 41 to 10, Psalm 40, 11 to 17 shares his lament and current petition for God's deliverance from his foes that are caused by his own sin. You'll notice verses 11 and 12, because troubles without number, verse 12, without number surround me, my iniquities have overtaken me and I'm not able to see. So David's own sin had gotten him into trouble. Thus, this psalm instructs us on living the actual life of faith with its very spotty times of failure that are intermingled with victory. The ups and the downs, very interesting. Now, David's reference to the adult male, this is Geber. This is a man who's between the age of 20 and 40. This is a man who's a warrior, and he's in his prime. This is a man at the height of his powers. It reveals the psalm's immediate application as to male heads of households, primarily, revealing again, as we had in a psalm before, the need for male leaders to lean on God for success in the life of faith. This is so important. We were raised in a culture where men are often isolated in the sense that they're taught to stand on their own. They're not supposed to have any perceived weakness within themselves. And what they do, they set themselves up for a fall. Because once they run into a situation that is over their head, then they're open for heart attacks and everything else. What we need to do is take the biblical route, and that is to recognize from the word get-go that every single human being is vulnerable for failure and for destruction, especially male heads of households, because they have responsibility for everybody in the household. So male heads of households need to recognize their need to rely on the Lord for everything and to start there, and then they're in a position of success. So David praised God for past victories of faith while cleaving to the Lord for his help in his present failures. So may we, like David, praise God for past victories while also cleaving to him for aid in present failures. Now, I had briefly talked about that bond slave issue in Exodus 21:5-6. I'll go back and I want to read that verse for you, those verses. In Exodus 21, verse 5 and 6, "And if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children,' I will not go free." Because, see, what happens, slaves would be purchased for a specific time. Often there was a debt that was owed the master, and to pay the debt off, people ran out of money, so they would sell one of the family members to the master as a slave for 6-7 years or whatnot. Well, after the 7 years or 6 years was up, he could go free. But then at that particular point, if his master has given him a wife and she's borne him sons or daughters, the wife and her children shall be the master's, and he shall go out by himself. But if the servant shall plainly say, "I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free," then his master shall bring him to the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through and with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. Okay? And that's, and of course, where ladies get their ears bored all the time for earrings and so forth. This is where a servant has this. And it would be, the awl would be kind of like, you know, these picks that we find. And he would become a servant. Paul himself, remember Paul refers to himself as a bond slave of Jesus Christ. That's a willing slave, one who has turned to the Lord and asked him, "Lord, I don't want to go free. I want to be serving you." So the Lord had called him, but Paul had become a bond servant, a willing slave. And this idea is, incidentally, the ideal way for us to serve the Lord, to become bond servants, willing servants, committed to serving the Lord for life with total application. It's not like, well, you know, I'm going to take this job of serving the Lord, and, you know, sometimes I'll show up and sometimes I won't. No, that's not a bondservant. A bondservant is a person who's highly motivated to serve his master. And that's ideally what God always wants us to be. So David had been in through this high, verses 1 through 10, but he went through this low, verses 11 through 17. I believe it's Psalm 70 that verses 11 through 17 are almost a perfect duplication of what is in Psalm 70. And it might be that David had added what he'd written in Psalm 70 to this, but he put them together in a single song because he wanted to demonstrate the reality of the life of faith. He had ups and he had downs, and sometimes they were interspersed, and that's the real life of faith. So the big lesson from this is we shouldn't get too discouraged if we've been living a life of success for the Lord and blessing. All of a sudden we get tripped up in some sin. It doesn't mean that it's the end of the world. What God wants us to do is confess the sin, to repent from it, and then go forward for the Lord, not to give up. A lot of times we have a tendency to give up on ourselves much, much sooner than God does. God knows our limitations. He knows our weaknesses. But we should always confess our sin, and God is always faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Faithful, he's always going to be there to help. So he's interested in picking us up, dusting us off, putting us back on the track, winding up our little engine, and then we go off like the Energizer Bunny again, you know. And if we rely upon the battery power of the Holy Spirit, then we go forever. If we don't, then, you know, he has to pick us up again, dust us off again, crank us up, away we go. But the point is, God is looking for these downtimes to be fewer as time goes by and not consistent or growing in numbers. That's where maturity comes, where there are fewer downtimes and there are more uptimes. It's the progress that God's interested in. It's interesting in the message to the seven churches, Jesus never said, "He who's perfect." He said, no. He said, "He who overcomes, I'll grant him this or that." Because Jesus is well aware of the fact that we need to overcome. We've got problems. But he does offer rewards for overcoming. And God's interested in that overcoming. So
This also shows us that we need to be wise in reference to discipling other people. If we're discipling our own children, or if we're discipling other people in a Bible study class or something, we have to recognize that there are going to be up times and there are also going to be down times with these people, because they're weak. They have, they have feet of clay just like everybody else. So this is why the Apostle Paul gave directions to Timothy. He says you have to be instant and in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and careful instruction. Why patience? Because people need patience. They fail. They'll fall on their face. They'll sin. Children do the same thing. Okay? There's this in and out, up and down. And we need to be consistent and to hold the course steady so that people can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, we'll open it up for questions or feedback. It could be on the psalm itself, does not have to be. If there is another matter that has come up or a subject that is unrelated to this, feel free to bring it up and we'll seek to address it through the Word of God as the Spirit of God leads us.